The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the 7th of June, 2019. I hope you've had a great week. We are live here during the week, Monday through Friday, during the noon hour on 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Make it very easy for you to hear our program. Our media partners, I want to say thank you to them, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier is with us. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill.
Thank you very much. The sheriff's a member of the Southwest Border Sheriff's Coalition. He's vice president of the Arizona Sheriff's Association. He serves as the chair of the Border Security Committee of the Major County Sheriffs of America. Joining me in studio for our conversation with the sheriff, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and she is the Star's editorial page editor, and she's really happy being a St. Louis native. She's just really excited about Blues hockey. They're one game away from the big one, the Stanley Cup.
They could do it. I think it's on Sunday at home, which
yep,
St. Louis would go bonkers.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I think St. Louis won last night on the road in Boston, making it a 3-2 series. So that's going to be great. Sheriff, let me begin with Homeland Security. They were here and you visited with them yesterday. What's that about?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security in Washington, D.C. is really, I applaud them. They've been reaching out to border sheriffs, and particularly Sheriff Wilmot over in Yuma County and Sheriff Daniels in Cochise and myself. And what they do is they get law enforcement leaders, senior executives from all over the country, and they actually pay for them to travel out to Arizona. They spend a day with Sheriff Wilmot, a day with Sheriff Daniels, and a day here in Pima County. And I applaud that because then they go back to their respective jurisdictions with a better understanding of what we're facing here on the border, because you can't learn it through osmosis. And one of the things that they're always struck about when they actually get out here is the vastness of our area. In some parts of the country, the fact that my county is 9,200 square miles is unthinkable. And it's hard to imagine until you actually get out here and see it. And so I do a presentation on the border for them, show them what the real border is, because that's the other frustration for border sheriffs is you have somebody from back east that goes to a port of entry. They stand there for an hour, get their picture taken with somebody in uniform, and they go back to wherever they were from as experts on the border. Well, they haven't even been to the border yet. You need to go down to Sassabee or the Tonawanda Reservation to really get a flavor for what the real border is. So I have a lot of pictures because I go down there frequently and talk about drug interdiction, human trafficking, the collateral damage to our community. You know, with the asylum seekers being released into Pima County, the stress on our NGOs and our nonprofits is horrific here. And you can't really understand that until you're here. And so I applaud DHS for sponsoring these junkets and bringing the folks out here to learn more about what's really going on here.
Pima County is the largest border county in the United States and a huge county, as you point out. In your home state of Iowa, there are a ton of little bitty counties.
99.
Counties.
99 sheriffs.
I mean, you some of these counties, you drive about 10 miles, if that, and you're out of the county and into another county.
Well, I was thinking about that. I went, as you know, I had to put my father in a nursing home, and I was in Iowa.
I'm so sorry about that.
Last week, and I drove from Cedar Rapids to Marshalltown, which is about 60 miles, and I went through four counties. I thought, my goodness, I still have another 60 miles to drive before I'd be through my county. And it's hard to imagine when you're in other parts of the world, but you know, we're blessed out here. We got natural beauty. We've got the desert. We have the mountains, and we're really blessed. We're going to be blessed with some hot weather here, but we've had a great spring, so we can't complain a whole lot there.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star into the conversation.
Sheriff, what do you think is something that, other than, in addition to the vastness and the reality of the border, what is a misconception that you have found people coming from elsewhere in the country have when they reach Pima County, when they reach the border? What are they assuming they're going to see that they don't see?
Well, I think a lot higher level of crime. We don't have illegal immigration in itself, and Republicans will crash their cars when I say this, but illegal immigration in itself does not generate a lot of crime. The other misconception is that leaders from other part of the country assume that my jail must be full of undocumented persons, and that's simply not true. It's very consistent. Around 5% of the jail population at any given time are people here without proper documentation, and people don't believe that, but it's true. And then with respect to ICE detainers, only about 3% of the jail population at any given time will have an ICE detainer. So they assume that we're overrun with this. They don't understand the humanitarian side of the crisis with immigration at all. They don't really have a good understanding of that. The other thing I think law enforcement leaders, they say to me, Sheriff, you don't understand. I've got people overdosing in my community. We need resources. And you sheriffs along the border seem so guarded, and you seem so desirous to have all those resources come here. And I would simply say, well, Sheriff, you don't understand that if I can stop it in my backyard, people don't die in your front yard. And so this is where the real battle is. And my deputies interdicted more than 5,000 fentanyl pills just the other day. Now, those are not going to be consumed in Pima County. They're going everywhere. And when we interdict 58, 60, 90 pounds of methamphetamine, we know that's going all over the country. We know that that's going to cause collateral public health damage, EMS response, criminality all over the nation. And we're really on the front line of that. And I think people don't fully grasp that until they're here. And they have a lot of misconceptions about the nature of migrant traffic. I mean, and I tell them, if you woke up this morning and you were in Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador, you might be making a very similar decision to the people that are coming here. And as a Christian and as a humanitarian person, I have a lot of compassion toward that. There should be a pathway for which they could come here legally. I get that. But they're making desperate decisions. And we can't fathom that with food in our stomach and a roof over our head and relatively safety. So I know that sounds un-Republican of me, but I think consistent with being a Republican is a value for life and Christianity, which sometimes divests itself from some of our rhetoric.
There's something else that sounds un-Republican that Sarah would like to bring up.
Oh, you guys are going to get me in all kinds of
yes,
trouble.
Yes, we are.
Well, Sheriff, I would like to thank you for what you just said and the way you framed the situation, because I think it's something that is accurate, and I think it's a picture and an understanding that I wish more people would have. Yeah, my other question that'll get you in trouble with Republicans is my focus at the Arizona Daily Star in the opinion section has been early childhood education, and there's been efforts around that. There's community efforts. You've been an outspoken supporter of early childhood education, otherwise known as high quality preschool. Can you talk about why, as a law enforcement officer, why you should care about preschool?
Well, it's as Bill knows, and now you do, that my other passion in life is education. I'm an educator. I teach for Boston University, and I was raised to value education. Well, as an educator, I know that a lot of educational imprinting occurs before the age of five. If we can get young people, before they get to kindergarten, being prepared to engage the academic experience in kindergarten and then elementary school, catch them and get them excited about it before they get to school, their probability of them having a successful experience in school is dramatically better. So you'd say, well, why in the world should a sheriff care about this? Well, one of the things I know that is absolutely empirically proven is people with a solid educational background commit far fewer crimes than people that don't. There isn't educational equality in this country. There's not educational access that is equal in this country. So we need to try to get young people prior to kindergarten, excited about learning, imprinted. My granddaughter's 2.5, and she already can recite almost all of the ABCs. She can almost count to 20 because she's being imprinted with that. We're taking care of that at home. Well, a lot of young children don't have, a two-parent family. They don't have parents that emphasize this education. So it makes sense from an investment standpoint. I do believe there's a ROI on this, a return on investment in early childhood education. Should we be thoughtful about it and try to be frugal and make good decisions about how we expend those funds? Of course we should. But to say there's no value in doing it is counterindicated by human development from an educational standpoint, but also from a return on investment standpoint.
So I guess I have two follow-ups. Do you think that Pima County tax dollars should be invested in Is there a role for public funding at the county level in a preschool program?
Well, now I'm just going to sound like a political dodge, but that's a political decision. And it is, in fact, a political decision. But I would say that if that investment doesn't come from the public sector, then you're relying upon the private sector. There's only two sources of money, you know, private or public. And I'm not sure that you would have a lot of private sector stand up on that issue, because in the private sector, they would have to see a more direct return on investment. So you look back to the public sector and you would say, okay, there probably is the most clear return on investment in the public sector. Therefore, that's probably where that investment should occur. So I would be supportive of that in general terms. But again, my Republican hat on, I think sometimes we throw money at problems without doing it in a business-like way. We really need to make smart decisions about how we expend public funds. I try to do that as your sheriff. And sometimes I see that we throw money at things because it feels good, not because we're doing the things that we really should be doing and really monitoring whether that expenditure of funds is getting us where we need to go.
And that leads into my other follow-up question was, from the Republican point of view, what is the objection to public preschool assistance, tuition assistance, even if, is it mostly that previous programs have maybe not, are we responding on precedent, or is there a larger kind of a personal responsibility, it's not my kid, I shouldn't have to pay for it, approach? Can you talk about that?
If you could kind of give us a bottom line there, Sheriff, well, I need to take a break.
Sure. I think with my conservative hat on, which I am a conservative, I would say that we're frustrated by the fact that we see a lot of money being expended and maybe not in smart ways. And I think we need to be smart about how we expend funds. Public funds are given to us and they're kind of a sacred thing. We should take fiduciary responsibility over tax dollars and make smart decisions as if we were making them with our own pocketbook, which we are. So I think some conservatives are disenfranchised with this because they simply see us throwing money away and they don't see an increase in the outcomes. Are we really educating our children better than we used to? And maybe we're expending more money and not really getting much for that investment. So I think we need to be more thoughtful about that.
All right. Our conversation with Sheriff Mark Napier will continue on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Sarah Garrett-Gasson stays with us as we get into the second segment. But first, Sarah and Sheriff, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery.
Oh, not Mona's.
Here we go. Of course it is.
Is it the Crinkle? Is it Crinkle time?
It is. It's Crinkle time. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Crinkle. Mona's now, everybody up at Mona's, so excited about. They've got the new grill in and they're 6:30 each morning. The grill's all fired up and ready for that hot breakfast. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It is in the county, Sheriff. So if you're ever up that way.
I'm in the county quite a bit. They need to have an extension in Oral Valley. They need a Mona's
right.
Number two somewhere in Oral Valley.
When you're over on in the Foothills area, certainly stop by Mona's. Have lunch right now at Mona's Danish Bakery. Why not a sandwich? And you can imagine that all those wonderful breads that just came out of the oven. I like the rustic bread, or this may sound crazy, but I like the white bread that they do too. It's really good on toast with that hot turkey sandwich. Mona's Danish Bakery. .com is their website. There's also a link to Mona's at buckmastershow.com, along with a link to about two dozen partners who have made this program possible since January of 2011. We'll be right back. 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for the sheriff, he would be happy to entertain your thoughts. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier is with us on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star and columnist at the Star, is with us here in our space age studio.
It is quite space age.
We've come a long way.
We have. Remember the linen closet? Well, yeah, it was kind of cozy, wasn't it? Last month, the Pima County Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 to accept the Stone Garden federal funds. The vote 12 months earlier was the board rejecting the Stone Garden funds after boards had accepted it for, I believe, a dozen years. Can you tell us what Stone Garden funds are all about and why the change and what does that mean?
Well, in a nutshell, Stone Garden was designed to provide additional resources in the border areas to take account for the public safety challenges that we face because the border is not secure. And those should not be borne on the backs of the taxpayers of their respective communities because they're really a failure of the federal government. So those funds were allowing sheriffs to deploy additional resources on overtime that we otherwise could not deploy into rural and underserved areas of our county, and also to purchase equipment that would help us combat border-related crime issues. As you point out, the board had accepted these funds on the consent agenda for more than a decade. And I think a lot of the stuff going on in Washington, D.C. Generated a lot of public interest in this that I think is really displaced, to be honest with you. But we worked very hard to address public concerns, and I think we've done a yeoman's work in that regard in better addressing the public concerns. And I applaud Sharon Bronson, Supervisor Bronson, because she did her due diligence. She met with a broad range of constituents. She interacted with me and my staff a great deal so she could better understand exactly what we were trying to do. And that was the swing vote. And that's good governance. You know, as much as this process beat me to death, I will say it's an example of good governance. We took a very controversial issue. We had a stalemate. We worked through it and to a successful conclusion. I'm still working with our federal partners in Washington, D.C. I'll have a conference call with the Acting Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection on the 12th because we want some humanitarian aid coming from that Stone Garden funding. And I'm getting a little block from Washington, D.C. on that, so I need to work through that. But I think we've made great progress.
Sarah Garrett Gasson.
You say that so officially, Bill.
There you go. Yeah. Sarah, you're up.
With the Stone Garden, and you said you were getting a little resistance with the humanitarian aid. Can you talk a bit more about what you're asking for specifically and what response you're getting, what that pushback is?
Yeah, what we're asking for is the support of our NGOs and our nonprofits here, because when somebody comes across a border and they request an asylum, they're reviewed by Border Patrol, and then they're tentatively approved for an asylum hearing some months down the road. Well, in that period between the request for asylum and the asylum hearing, they're in this little sweet spot where they have standing. So they're no longer an illegal immigrant or an undocumented. They have standing. So then they're released into the community. Well, in Pima County, we've had more than 7,000 people released in the community. From a public safety standpoint and humanitarian standpoint, we can't simply let them wander the streets. So our NGOs and our nonprofits have taken up the mantle of providing transitional housing and food and medical care for some of these folks. And we shouldn't have to bear that on the backs of those NGOs and nonprofits or the people of Pima County. So I've asked for funding to provide medicine, food, temporary shelter for these people as they transition from Pima County to their terminal destination, which are all over the country. They're going all over the country from here. And I think that's reasonable. And it's also allowed by the rules. So I'm not asking Washington, D.C. to create a rule that doesn't exist. What I'm saying is honor a rule that you already created. And I'm getting pushback because traditionally Stone Garden is seen as an enforcement, a law enforcement funding thing. My response back to D.C., and I'll make this case stronger when I talk to the acting commissioner, is if I don't act upon this, this will create a public safety problem because these people will either participate in crime or be victims of crime because we've thrown them into the community without the proper resources. So from a public policy standpoint and a criminal justice administration standpoint, this makes perfect sense. But making perfect sense in Washington, D.C. sometimes do not meet very well. So I'll be making a strong case, and I've got a good partners in Washington, D.C. I really do. We've worked really hard to build relationships there, and I hope to be successful.
You have a department of 1,500 employees when you include the jail. So that's quite a portfolio. It's a lot of people. Generally, how are you doing with compensating these employees?
We've made great strides. I would be in the camp that says I'm not sure what we would pay these people, and I'd say, wait, that's too much. We're over the top here. I have the greatest respect for the people that do the hard work at the department, and that's not the sheriff. I used to be one of the people out in the middle of the night doing the real work of the law enforcement agency, but we've made great strides. Since I took office, a deputy, starting deputy, made $20.85 an hour when I took office. That deputy on September 1st will make $26.01 an hour. And when I took office, a corrections officer was making $17.52 an hour. That same corrections officer today makes $21.50 an hour. So we've done great work there, but there's more to be done. Hiring is exceptionally difficult, and that's not unique to Pima County Sheriff's Department. It's a byproduct of the fact that, you know, unemployment's at 3.6%, which economists would tell you is basically full employment. It's very challenging. And millennials just don't see a career in law enforcement as attractive as I did as a baby boomer. Mm-hmm. So there are a whole lot of strains on hiring right now. We've upped our recruiting efforts. We're doing our very best, but it's a challenge right now.
How about response time? I'm one of those listeners who do live in the county, and when I call, hopefully I won't need to call, but if I do call, what kind of a response time can I expect, say, the Central Foothills area?
Well, it all depends on the day and what's going on. I will say that our response times have crept up a little bit because of staffing. There's no way to hide that, but when you look at the 90 percentile, which you throw out the 5% on each side, which are the anomalies, if you look at that 90 percentile, we've only upticked by a matter of seconds, which I understand when you're waiting for a law enforcement officer, seconds matter. But the other thing we've not done, which other law enforcement agencies do, say, well, we're not going to respond to this.
Right.
We're not going to respond to that, which then we could respond to emergencies even quicker. But if you call the Pima County Sheriff's Department, you're going to get a deputy. If a gnome is stolen out of your yard, we still come.
Wow. So it's not like some agencies, a menu of what is a responsible, some kind of a very small thing. You're not going to get perhaps a city officer out, but in the county, You will.
We go to everything.
Wow.
So we still go to property damage, traffic accidents.
Uh-huh.
We when you call, we go. And I want to keep that. We're down about 35 deputies roughly. And I would hire all 35 today if I could find them. But the last time we went through a hiring process, I told my staff services people, look, I want you to hire. They said, yes, Sheriff, we understand it. I said, I want to say this again because I want you to be clear. I want you to hire. And they go, we got it. Mm-hmm. And they came back to me and said, Sheriff, we have bad news. We know you wanted to hire 30 deputies. When we went through the hiring process, we now have 11 successful candidates. And I go, oh, my God. And they said, a month later, they said, well, we have more bad news. Three of them dropped out of the academy. Mm. So now in my aspiration, and I have the money, I have the desire to hire 30, I'll graduate 8. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's very hard right now.
Have you made the decision now to seek re-election next year?
I have. I love this county. I love public service. It's not about Mark Napier. My mother, she's a good farm mom. She would look at me and go, son, it ain't all about you. She was right then. She's right now. It isn't about me. It's about continuing my dedication to public service. I love this county. It's my home.
How does your family feel about you going again for another 4 years?
So, Sarah, how are you doing today?
I have the same question.
I got to dodge that question.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I think my wife's
no
supportive.
Pressure right now.
She knows where my heart is. The kids want Dad to retire.
They do.
I started in 81. I've had a great career. If it ended today, I've had a blessed life. I never dreamed I'd end up where I am and have the opportunity to do the things I've done.
But at home right now, there is that sentiment for you to retire.
They said, Dad, what else do you need to do? Mm. And there's some common sense to that. And nobobody ever laid in hospice wishing they'd spent more time at the office.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah. But I love this county. It's my home. And there's some things I want to accomplish yet, and we're not going to get all of them done. And so I want to continue the service. And, of course, that's up to the voters of Pima County. I can want anything I want to. But I respond to the people of this county, and I kid around with Chief Magnus every once in a while. I said, Chief, 4 votes and you lose your job. 250,000 votes, I lose mine.
There you go.
So it's a very different perspective. But
all right.
I hope that people will bless me with a chance to serve some more.
Sarah, do you have any final thoughts before we let the sheriff go?
I was just wondering, with when you talk about retirement and you say it's not about Mark Napier, who else is it about then?
It's about spending more time with my family. They've suffered a lot. I mean, and suffering's probably not an overdramatic word. I mean, I've been a street cop. I missed a lot of birthdays, a lot of Christmases, a lot of things. And I think they'd like to have Dad live out the back half of his life without a lot of stress, without 60-hour work weeks. I'm not going to change that. That's who I am. So I'll always be working long hours, and that's just the nature of me. So I think it's more about family. I'll always be involved in this community because it's my home. And I've said that in D.C. I said, it's an academic exercise what goes on the border in Washington, D.C., and it's an interesting political debate. But long after I'm not the sheriff, this is my home. It's my home. I care about what happens here.
Do you have any hobbies?
I play golf badly. Uh-huh. I play with my granddaughter constantly, mm-hmm. as much as I can. I'm going to get to see her tonight. We're having a little family event at my oldest son's house. She's the apple of my eye. So I play golf. I hike. But I don't do anything very often anymore.
And you worry a lot about your son who's in the Tucson Police Department.
Yeah, I worry about him. I worry about all the young people out there doing the job. It's dangerous. It's a very challenging environment now, and I go to bed every night and I worry about the young people out there doing the job, whether it's in the corrections or a deputy out in the field. I worry about these kids. I've been to a lot of police funerals. I took my son to the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., and I pointed to him to 5 names on that wall. And I said, what's that mean to you? And he goes, well, it's a name. I said, no, it's not. Let me tell you who it was.
Yeah.
And that puts it in perspective for him.
All right, Sheriff Mark Napier, thank you very much for coming
in. Thank
you,
my friend.
I appreciate it very much. Sarah Garrett Gasson sticks around. Jim Nintzel joins us from his office, where he is the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. He's on the live line. He'll be up next with us right after the break on 1030, the Voice Trusted Local News and Talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. That's appropriate bump music. Everybody's talking for a talk show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio. And Sarah, it's still a pleasure for you to come into this brand new studio. You've been in here a couple of times, but I think you enjoy it.
I do indeed enjoy it. And I think I would enjoy it more if I had a Mona's Kringle.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that would be good. Wouldn't it right now? Boy, a Kringle here, and Bob saying he'd like one too on the other side of the glass. And Jim Ninsel with us on the live line, and Jim has been over here at the studios and likes it very much as well, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, Bill. I'm just swallowing a little piece of Mona's Kringle here. Let me just finish that off.
Hey, Jim,
that new studio is amazing. Yeah, and so is the Mona Kringle.
It is both. Yeah. I know you joined us perhaps near the end of the interview with the sheriff, but there's a little bit of, I think, a little news that came out of the interview, Sarah. The sheriff is getting some blowback from Washington about this Stone Garden thing, and Jim, the whole Stone Garden thing is kind of in jeopardy right now. Did you happen to hear that, Jim?
I did not hear that portion of the interview. I apologize.
Well, Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, so what the sheriff was saying is that with the Board of Supervisors voting to go ahead and accept or pursue the Stone Garden money, that was basically based on humanitarian uses. Mm-hmm. And the sheriff said that he's been speaking with Washington and that he's getting some pushback about that money being used not for pure enforcement, but for humanitarian aid, which he assured us is in the rules of how it can be used, so it's not some crazy request. So I guess I have to say I'm not surprised that Washington is pushing back about the Trump administration mm-hmm. specifically on humanitarian aid of any kind. And I think it's discouraging, and I am glad that the sheriff is going to fight the fight and do what he can to get funding to help with the humanitarian crisis.
Jim, he was talking about he's speaking with the acting administrator, and they seemed kind of, from what the sheriff was saying, they're very surprised that any law enforcement agency would actually be asking about humanitarian assistance rather than pure law enforcement, which I found kind of interesting.
I'm sure the Trump administration is not entirely familiar with the notion of humanitarian assistance after hearing this week that they were planning on eliminating, you know, all kinds of recreation and educational programs for the minors in their care. I am hardly surprised to hear that that they are shocked to hear that somebody might like to actually treat human beings in a decent manner.
Jim, I want to talk a little bit about The Skinny, your long-running column at Tucson Weekly, and you talked a little bit about Leah Marquez Peterson, who is now the newest member of the Arizona Corporation Commission. How did that work? She was not elected to the commission, to the ACC, which is enormously important that most people don't seem to really understand what they do. But hey, for the consumer, this is a big deal. But she was appointed. How did that happen?
Yeah, so the CorpCom, you're right, a lot of people are not familiar with what's going on. The biggest thing that CorpCom's been involved with lately is utilities and in particular, kind of regulating the subsidies that solar customers have. That's kind of been the big battle that's been going on up there. The utility companies don't want to see the subsidies continue or want to see the subsidies significantly decreased for the rooftop solar programs. So there's been a battle over that at the Corporation Commission, and in the background of that was the fact that the Arizona Public Service, the state's largest utility, had been secretly and then not so secretly funding campaigns in the terms of millions of dollars to help elect regulators that they preferred to be watching over what they do, which is kind of like electing the fox to watch the hen house. And so what we've had happen in the most recent election round is some folks got elected who have been supporting Republican chairman of the now chairman of the Corporation Commission, Bob Burns, and his efforts to kind of untangle what APS has been up to. And so there's been a change up there. Leah is taking the place of Andy Tobin. He was a former House Speaker in Arizona, and he's kind of been used as a utility player by the Ducey administration. They put him here and they put him there in various places, so he stepped down from his seat at the Corporation Commission to take over the Department of Administration, and then there was an open seat, and Leah, who lost a seat for Congress last year, as you said, decided that was a good place for her to land, and so that's how it came about. We'll see how she handles all this controversy with APS and whether we're going to see watchdogs or lapdogs on that commission.
It is a real important role.
It really, truly is. The ACC controls and weighs in on a lot of things that Arizonans take for granted day to day. I think it's good to have a Southern Arizonan.
Yes.
On the ACC. I think someone like Leah, who knows Southern Arizona and has ties and the business community and beyond, since she's been here for so long, I think will be a positive if for representation, if no other reason.
And we have her on the roundtable booked for July, so we'll be able to dig a little deeper into what her role will be on the ACC. And I think it's been a long time, Jim and Sarah, since there was a member from Southern Arizona. As I recall, there was a member, I believe, from Cochise County. So it's been a long time, mm-hmm. and it's good that we do have some kind of say there. It's good also, I guess, Sarah and Jim, I think it is a good thing that Arizona once again owns its own capital.
How nice.
Yes. Part of the state budget, Jim Nensel, was to buy back the capital.
Yeah, it's good that we have enough money right now to take care of some of those things, and certainly paying down debt instead of paying interest on it is great. But I do wonder if some of the money we're socking away might be better used in the current day to actually take better care of our schools and whatnot. But those are not the choices the lawmakers made this time out.
I have to bring this up, this new book that is out. It's titled Siege, Trump Under Fire, and the Arizona Republic has a piece today, an excerpt about it, that the president celebrated Senator McCain's brain cancer diagnosis, using it as an exhibit of what could happen to those that cross him. So writes author Michael Wolff in this new book chronicling President Trump and his administration. This one sentence is really, really, really troubling. Quote, Trump took John McCain's brain tumor diagnosed in summer of 2017 as something as personal validation. He would quote again, you see, he would say, raising his eyebrows, you see what can happen. Then he would mime an exploding head. That's off.
There is no depth to which Donald Trump will not sink. In that little excerpt, I mean, apparently he's God or thinks he's God. And I don't even want to dignify his ridiculousness with pointing out how ridiculous and awful and terrible he is.
Yeah, it's one of those maybe no words, right, Jim?
Well, certainly this is, Michael Wolff's, there's certainly been some questioning of his previous book in terms of the sourcing inaccuracy and who tells these stories to him. That said, I think even the public things we've seen Donald Trump say about John McCain and about many, many other people are absolutely appalling and beneath the office of the President of the United States.
All right. In the skinny as well, and there's more musical chairs at Allie Miller's office.
Yeah. If you're looking for work, Bill, it seems as though there's a steady opening at Allie's office. She hired a chief of staff named Tyler Mott about 4 months ago, and he didn't last the 4 months before he got the axe. And I think I lost count about when she had about 25 staffers, and then we've been through a few since then. So, it's just an amusing. You hear a lot of stories about what it's like to work for Allie Miller. When you talk to people who have worked for her in the past, and it seems as though yet another one has bitten the dust.
Same sort of job security as in the Trump White House.
Anyway, Paul has called us. Did Paul want to go on the air, Bob? Yes. Paul, go ahead. Go ahead. What's your comment, sir, please? Hey, Paul, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Yeah, okay. I'm dismayed that you're believing this Trump hater, Wolf. He hated our president ever since he's been on the scene, and I don't know why you just accept him over the word of our elected president.
I think that, as Jim pointed out, even if you discount that anecdote, Trump has more than made his feelings known publicly about John McCain, even in death.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also point out that trusting the word of this president is extraordinarily difficult given his loose association with the facts.
Jim, getting back to the kind of the rainy day fund at the Capitol and the plan here, and now we do own the Capitol building itself. Would it be best to kind of build up that rainy day fund? And that's kind of one of the questions that I think was left unanswered out of this new budget. What do you think?
What Ducey gets out of putting that $1 billion number on it is he can say he took the state from $1 billion in the red to $1 billion in the black. And it can be a campaign slogan should he decide, he wants to run for president or another office down the line. That's a pretty good soundbite. And I think that's where the $1 billion came from. There's always a debate about how much you should have in the bank versus how much you should spend now, say, on your highways or on your schools or on what have you. How much do you want in the bank versus how much do you want to actually put to use for your citizens today. I mean, that's the balance you want to strike. And in this particular case, you know, the $1 billion is a record. It's a little above what we had when the last recession hit. I think we had $750 million or something like that in the bank. I don't recall the exact numbers. Forgive me. But, you know, Rob in the Arizona Republic made the point that, you know, that money went real fast and they still had to do $1 billion in cuts. So whether you have that a $750 million or a billion or whatever, when the bad times come rolling in, that money's going to burn much too fast, unfortunately.
Yep. Sarah?
Oh, no, I totally agree. It is a nice round number. And we, as good as times are right now, in some people's views, we know that times like 2008 will hit again, and we'll be on the other side.
Sarah, out of time. Jim, thank you very much. Sarah, what's coming up in the paper on Sunday? Do you, anything you would like to promote?
We have an interesting piece about elder abuse, which sounds it's a good piece, and we have a piece from Raul Grijalvaag, our congressman, talking about the importance of middle school.
Okay. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thank you very much. Sarah, Jim, thanks. Jim Nintzel with us from The Weekly, and I hope you have a great weekend, Sarah, and I hope the St. Louis Blues win the Stanley Cup.
Thank you very much.
There you go. All right. Coming up next, Matt Russell. He's not on the live line. He's in the green room. He's ready to go with Weekend Watch. In-person, in-studio edition with Matt Russell right after this.
Are you a business who wants to make a difference in children's education without it costing a single penny? IBE, a school tuition organization, wants you to know about the Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Talk to your accountant today. For two decades, IBE has made it simple for corporate donors. Owners, working with over 290 schools, IBE awards 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. All right, stir it up, baby. That means Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. So much to do over there, including big pro rodeo next week over in Silver City, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Even if you're not into rodeo, there's all sorts of things, including some really fine dining in historic Silver City. And speaking of dining, let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, pretty much with us since day one when we launched in 2011. It's such a pleasure to welcome Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, to our space age mothership here at KVOI in studio. Here he is, Matt Russell.
After over 8 years, I finally get to be in the same room with you. So this is what you look like.
This is
wow,
it.
Wow,
this
you're
is
Bill
it.
Buckmaster.
This is it. And I wanted to say thank you for your great job sitting in on the Buckmaster Show, and actually brought you a couple of gifts, a lovely hot sauce from the island of Antigua.
Susie's hot sauce, the Caribbean taste original. I want to do shots of this by the end of the day.
And there's enough chocolate, Swiss chocolate, to last you until Christmas.
I can barely lift it off the table. It's like a scene from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I've never seen a bigger candy bar. Thank you. I'm grateful.
Thank you. What's going on? Don't tell me. Another happy hour.
Absolutely. You know, we are officially 2 hours away from one of my favorite happy hours in town. It's Augustine Kitchen in the Mercado, San Augustine, of course, at the west end of the streetcar route. Belly up to the bar and get a margarita, an old-fashioned or a classic Vesper for only $6. Select wines for only $5 and a few beers for $4. It's a bountiful happy hour menu, Bill, but the Augustine experience would not be complete without some nopales fries. That's right. Those are French fries made with cactus pads.
Whoa.
Served with some great dipping sauces. Stay for dinner or hop on the streetcar into downtown. Get your weekend off to a great start. Happy hour at Augustine Kitchen starts at 3 o'clock.
I always look forward to the Kingfisher in the summer. They do these road trips. Where are they headed this year, Matt?
Absolutely. A different part of the map every few weeks throughout the summer. This weekend, they are celebrating the culinary and cocktail culture of the Old South.
Mm.
So some of the stars of the Down South menu are the deep-fried cornmeal crusted oysters, pulled Carolina leg of pork with a
Whoa.
Mustard sauce, Jack Daniel's pecan pie, Bill Buckmaster.
Ooh,
now, there's still...
I'll take a nice, healthy slice of that.
Oh, they're boy. Still going to have their standard menu, but why would you pass on the chance to transport your palate to the swamplands? Get yourself to Kingfisher this weekend, you hear?
And what's going on at this... this sounds like a really fun event. Rock for Paws?
Yeah, you know, our friend Dylan Smith
yeah.
brought this one to my attention. It
yes.
sounded like a great Saturday night. Rock for Paws at the House of Bards on Speedway starting at 5 p.m. features Tony Kishman, who's a world-class Paul McCartney enthusiast. He's going to be in concert to benefit this dog rescue group called Hard Luck Hounds of Arizona. Now, as I understand, Bill, Tony hails from the Beatlemania production
Ooh.
On Broadway, and he reportedly sounds exactly like Paul McCartney. $20 gets you in the door. $10 will get you fish and chips all night long. There's the food part.
Mm.
Another great canine cause, Rock for Paws, is tomorrow night at House of Bards.
Sounds like something to howl about. There you go. And in the column in Inside Tucson Business.
Yeah, the sacred sisters of maize and cacao in the Mayan culture have found their way into a bottle of whiskey from Tucson's newest distillery. Corn and chocolate at 95 proof. It's all in my column in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
So much going on in the food scene. You would rate all that's been happening, all the openings, A+.
A++. I mean, this is the city of gastronomy, for crying out
loud. There you go.
We're blessed to be here in Tucson.
There you go. Thank you so much, Matt.
Cheers,
great
Bill.
To see you.
Cheers.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the program. Original music composed by my friend Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my longtime assistants, everybody here at Bustos Media in Tucson, including my great engineer producer, Bob Dio, on the other side of the glass. On behalf of Matt Russell, Bob, and myself, have a great weekend.